Amen. Give Him praise this morning. It is good to be in God's house. It is good to have the freedom to worship Him. I'd like for you to turn your attention with me to God's Word this morning in Romans chapter 10. Today is a special day for us. You're going to hear from some of our people about a trip that God sent us on in Belize and the opportunities that we may have to be able to be involved in God's work there. And it's all about God's Word. It's all about taking this Word that brings salvation to the lost. So I want you to follow along as I read aloud this morning in our scripture reading from Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that righteousness. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. May God bless the reading of His Word. This year is going to be an exciting year, already has been an exciting year for Fairway Baptist Church. We have committed to clear the way, to pray, to prepare, and to train, and to seek what God has next for our church. And when I talked with our elders about this in October, and we started putting this together to be able to present it to you, and I started praying about the things that I knew that God wanted us to do, and asking Him to show me where He wanted us to be involved in particular areas, I started praying about where we might be involved in international missions. And I did not expect God to answer as quickly as He did. But during that time in praying around the 1st of November, I had a conversation with a man, his name's Dr. Brent Ray. He is an associate dean at Southwestern Seminary, and he runs what is called their Global Theological Initiative. And Southwestern, which is a seminary that when you give cooperative program dollars that our church gives to our convention, goes to help fund and run that seminary. And that Southwestern has started a program, GTI, Global Theological Initiative, where they are going into different countries around the world for the purpose of helping to set up theological training for pastors who would not be able to get it otherwise. And I told him that I was looking for an opportunity for our church to be involved in international missions, and I had some criteria that I put in front of him. And some of the things that I told him was, number one, it's got to be a place where we can go and experience God working in a great way. There are some places that we could go and we would spend years before we would ever see God work. But I really felt like our people, that we needed to see God doing a great work somewhere. And we would want to jump on where God was already moving and doing some incredible things and be a part of that. Second thing that I told him is that it's got to be affordable so that all of our families, everyone can be a part of it and be able to go and participate in it. And in giving him that criteria, he said, I know exactly the place that you need to go. And he began to tell me about this work that was going on in Belize. This man by the name of Mike Helton, who he had met, and what was taking place there with these pastors that were coming up and asking for help and asking for assistance and wanting to be trained in God's Word so that they could do evangelism and they could do church planting, and how there were villages in the jungle that were popping up and they were hearing about this great movement of God that was going on, and they were interested in this gospel message. They were interested in coming together as a church and learning about God's Word, just into the hunger that the people had. And he said, well, I will introduce you to Mike. I'll set it up. And so somewhere around the 1st of December, I went down to Fort Worth. And I had lunch with Dr. Ray and with Mike. Now, Mike's just a good old country boy. You'll hear from the team that went, just one. I mean, he crawled out of the hills of Tennessee. That's the only way to describe Mike. Mike is just Mike. And he loves the Lord, and he loves what he's doing there. He has spent most of his life working in Mexico, and in the last 2 to 3 years has been in Belize doing the work that he's doing now. So we got together, and Mike wanted to eat ribs, so we ate ribs, and we talked. And he explained to me everything that was going on down in Belize, that he had met this young man by the name of Eustaquio, who had started a church and had tried to start other churches in other villages and had got them going. And he even had this radio ministry at one time where he was preaching over the radio there in the southern part of Belize, and how it just got to be such a burden on him and the circumstances that he found himself in. Transportation was difficult. There was not enough funds to do the things that he was doing. He didn't have trained leaders to help him, and so it was all on his shoulders, and how he was getting burned out. And the other challenge that he had was that there was another group that had come in, a very theologically liberal group that had come into Belize, and it started telling churches and pastors that they would train them, and they would put them through their 2-year school, and they were telling them, you to be ordained and to lead a church, you have to go through our school. Well, the hard part about that is these guys can't leave where they are because they have to stay with their families in order to grow crops to be able to feed them and to be able to sell to make a little bit of money. The average wage in Belize is $12 a day. Now, that sounds like, you know, a good deal, maybe, if you're living in the type of situation that they are. But here's the problem. Gas is $5 a gallon. They can't afford transportation to get to and from work. So they stay with their families. They work and grow crops and different things in order to help their families survive. And so he didn't have any support, and the churches, the liberal organization that came down to Belize told them that in order to get money, help from them, you had to go through their school. Well, they're teaching bad theology. They're teaching things that these guys don't want. And they're telling them, we don't want what you're teaching us. We know it's not what the Bible says. We don't want to live up to your standards. We don't want what you're trying to give us because it's not of God. And so you had a bunch of these young pastors that were breaking away, and they're getting no support because this other organization's got all the money that they're pouring into these churches. Well, when these pastors leave, Eustaquio's got all of this burden sitting on his shoulders, and he's getting burned out. And he has lunch with Mike. Mike meets him there in Belize, and they start talking. And he's pouring all this out to Mike, and he starts crying. He says, I'm just worn out. I can't do this anymore. I'm just going to give up. And Mike, in his good old Tennessee country boy way, looks at him and says, boy, you can't quit. God's got something great going on through you, and you can't give up. You can't quit. And he told him, I'll come help you. Now, just to tell you what kind of a man Mike is, Mike left where he was living and moved into Eustaquio's village and lived in an unfinished church building and helped him finish building that church. Then he helped him start training people. And that's what Mike is doing now. He's helping to train these pastors that are there. So Mike's the real deal. He's not just to come and stay for a little while and go. Mike is living among the people, doing what a missionary is supposed to be doing. And so I meet with Mike, and he tells me this story. And he also tells me that there are people in other denominations in Belize teaching things that are against God's word, these denominations that are teaching things that are not of Scripture. And there are people in those denominations that are starting to pour out of them like crazy. Just this past week in a conversation I had with Mike, he said, I've got letters I'm going to send you. There were people that were part of the Catholic Church that wrote letters to the diocese in Punta Gorda, which is a coastal city on the southern part of Belize, telling the Catholic Church leaders, we no longer want to be part of the Catholic Church because we don't agree with what you're teaching us. Not only that, you are sending us people to be our priest who are getting drunk, who are smoking, and who are chasing our women And some of them are even chasing after our children. How can we trust these people that you are telling us are going to teach us God's word? So we don't want any part of it anymore. Mike says it reads like something that came out of the Reformation. But there's this movement of God taking place in there where people are coming, those that are believers are coming back to God's word and wanting to know more about God's word and how to do the things the right way that God has called his church to do. That's absolutely incredible. There seems to be a modern day reformation taking place among the people in Belize. And in addition to that, there are people who have never had any association with church that are coming to faith in Christ. And that's only naturally going to flow out of this Reformation when God's people get underneath God's word and learn to do it God's way. God, things are going to happen. And God's going to work through them to win the lost to Christ, but they need help. They have no training. They have very little resources. And they don't know how to do evangelism. They don't know how to do the things that they're supposed to be doing. They need someone to teach them and to show them and to help them. And there are villages out there that are asking for churches. They may not know what they're asking for, but they're asking for someone to come in and to help them start a church. There's a lot of evangelism that needs to be done in some of these villages that are out in the jungle. And when we went down there, Mike showed us some of those. I'm going to show you some pictures this morning and talk to you a little bit about what we did while we were down there before you hear from our team. So I get connected with Mike. And in talking with Mike, I determined that we needed to go down and see the work that he was doing there. Because you can hear, it's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to actually see what's going on in the country and to be able to talk with the people that God's doing this work through. And so we took a team down and spent 5 days down there going around to different places, meeting with the people that Mike had told us about and going into some of these villages. Now, Belize is a beautiful country. Has anybody ever been there? Okay, we got a few of you that have been there. We didn't go to the coastal towns, the tourist towns. We were back in the mountains, back in the jungle among the Mayan people, which I'll tell you a little bit about. But you can see this picture. This is a road that goes up to one of the Mayan ruins, and it's just absolutely beautiful. Another piece of scenery from on top of a hill at one of the ruins that we were able to visit. This is a ferry boat that took us across to a different ruin that we got to go see. Just a gorgeous country. It's one of the ruins that we got to climb up to the top of. You can see our team. There's Govan, Aaron, and David starting to climb up that ruin. And when you get to the top, you have pictures like this, views like this. And what you're looking at is the last city in Belize before you cross over into Guatemala. So if you can see kind of the roofs of the buildings, you look beyond that, those mountains in the back, that's Guatemala. That's on the back side of the pyramid if you're looking that way. Go around to the front and look at this view. Now you're looking over into Mexico. And of course you have to climb back down and you can see how steep those stairs are. It was a fun little day. Here's the Gulf, the city that we were able to stay in when we were down in the southern part of the country. So the people that we worked with, that Mike's working with, are the Mayan people. Now you may, those of you that have studied history, you may know a little bit about them. You can see here one of the carvings that came from the pyramid. They used to be a great civilization there. Now they are the poorest people in that country. This is one of the places that they live. This is one of their, what most of their houses look like. There's another house. It's a compound where a family lives together. And then their children, just like our kids, running around playing, having a good time. Now, most of them grow crops, as I told you. That's how they take care of their families. But there are others that live in tourist places or in big cities that have found other ways to make a living. This guy is actually making carvings on pieces of slate. Isn't that gorgeous? The artwork that he's able to do. Since most of them farm, they grow corn, there are places in villages, usually at least one place, where they have this grinder that allows them to grind corn to be able to make their tortillas and the things that they use that for. So here's some of the food, because I know you're going to ask questions. What do we eat when we're there, right? This is a, oh my goodness, plantain that has been pounded flat, turned into like a taco shell, and then on top of it, they put beef, cheese, and vegetables. It is awesome. Sopapillas, did I say that right? So what is it called? I don't forgot too. Right. Something starts with an S. Sopapillas are the sweet things, right? You know, okay, so that's not what this is. This was not sweet at all. So this is like fried cornbread, and they put stewed chicken on top of it with cabbage and tomatoes. That was breakfast. It was really good. And then, of course, the burritos with the homemade tortillas. This is what most of the roads look like, that the main roads, they are paved. There is some firm infrastructure down there because it's a tourist town, a lot of tourist dollars coming in, so they are able to keep up infrastructure pretty well, except for some of the roads that we went on. Now, this is a good dirt road. We went down some that weren't as good as this one. So there's Mike in the red shirt talking to one of the men at one of the churches that we were able to go and visit to. You can look at Mike. He's just a good old country boy. I mean, I wish you could hear him talk. This is one of the houses that we stayed in the first night and the last night before we left. The man in the blue shirt, his name is Hobe. He was our guide while we were down there. He was able to show us around and help us understand a lot of what's going on. When we had to go to the south and find a place to stay, we stayed in this hotel. This was right on, I wouldn't call it a beach. It was right on the ocean. That's the best way to put it, on the bay, I guess. All right, so why were we there? Let's talk about some of the things that we saw. As you can see here, this building, this is a church. Yeah. This is one of the churches that we were able to visit, and this church is exploding. There are people, there are people hanging around outside this building when they have a church service. They can't get everybody inside of it. And so they're already working. They've got people helping them build a new church. That's going to be one of the largest churches in that area for people to be able to come into worship. So Mike's already got people that are helping take care of that and working on that. Here's another church in the capital city that we were able to visit. This is just a concrete slab with poles, and they put tin up on the side to help block the wind and the rain, and the roof is actually tarps. They've had to replace those tarps multiple times down there. You can see what it looks like. That's what they sit under, and that's where they do their worship time and their Bible study time. One of the things that we were able to do, and you'll hear from the team about this, was to go to a village where they were asking to start a church. And for us to be able to go down there, we thought it would be a good idea to do something generous and to open the door to be able to talk with them. And so Mike said, let's go get beans and rice. So we bought 100 pounds of rice and 100 pounds of beans and broke it up into different bags. And David Mailer is just manhandling a 100-pound bag of kidney beans right there. And this is the road that we got to the village that we went to go and sit and talk with the people about starting a church. Now, this road, in the direction that you're looking, this road runs out and it turns into a trail. And that trail goes all the way over into Guatemala. And there are villages all through the jungle in the southern part on roads like this that are asking for help. There are villages there that are just dying for someone to come and share the good news of Christ with them and teach those that are believers more about their faith and to be able to teach them how to do evangelism. So that road runs all the way into Guatemala. And here's the house that we met in. Now, you may have, I think this was put up on our church's Facebook page yesterday, because this was one of the turning points in our trip. To sit in that house with about 7 or 8 people, and one of them being their village official, to talk about building a church. And they wanted to have a church service. So we sat there with them, and we were able to do church in that little house after it got dark. Now, they have dirt floors. We were sitting on benches up against the wall, and under the benches were chickens in boxes. And we just sang songs together. They sang in their language, and then the guy that was leading it, he knew some English, and so we sang a few songs in English as well. Then he got up and he read from Scripture. He used a flashlight and he read Scripture to everyone. And we spent time praying, and then we spent time talking about what it would look like to start a church there, and then had the opportunity to share the gospel with everyone in that room. It was a great time. And this is the whole reason that we went, was to see, are these types of opportunities there for us to be involved in? So that little house right there was kind of the culmination of the whole trip. That yes, there are places like that where we can get involved and we can see God's work taking place among his people, and we can come alongside them and help them learn to do this as the church should be doing on their own. Yeah, the church in San Pedro was an interesting day and to learn about them. They had a building already before they had to go to this barn that she was talking about, but the pastor of that church decided, that's my church, my family's church, and he put a lock on the door and wouldn't allow them to use the building anymore. And so this is a group of people who left from there seeking, they wanted the scripture, they wanted God, and so they go out on their own and start having church in this barn. And so, you know, watching them have gone, you know, that they went through that hard time, and knowing that they're just desperate for a pastor, and that there are men who are desiring that role but don't know how to do it. That was a good night for us to be able to hear that and see that as a possibility, something that we could do. Good. Thank you, guys. Thank you that y'all were able to go on the trip. Yeah, y'all can. I really had a good time getting to know them even more on that trip and spending time with them there. I know some of you probably want to ask questions about the Chiggers, and you can talk with them about that later. It's our fault. We should have brought bug spray, but it wasn't that bad. We got through it. We're all well now. So you heard from them. You heard what God did through their lives and what they witnessed while they were there. And I would encourage you, go and talk to them after the service about what they did. They've got some neat things to show you, too. They brought back some hand-woven baskets and some other crafts and things that the people there make. So you can talk with them about it and ask questions about the trip. I hope you see that this is an area where, like I said, everyone has the opportunity to go and to get involved. Every one of us will have an opportunity to go and do something for God's kingdom in Belize. So now the question is, what's next? You hear them asking, when are we going back? Well, one of the things that I need you to do is I need you to do two things. Number one, I need you to continue to pray. Since we've been back, there are things that are going on. It's just incredible what God is already doing in helping us establish a relationship with Mike and the work that he's doing there. Other opportunities that God, doors that he may be opening for us to do some unbelievable things there in Belize. So I need you to continue to pray that God will open those doors and that God will make a way for us to do the things that he's called us to do. Second thing that I need you to do is I need you to start praying about going. Our next trip could be as soon as this summer. It just depends on the things that God lines out. So I need you to start praying about whether God wants you to go on this next trip. And if you feel that led to do that, if you want more information, if you're excited about it, I need you to let me know that you want to go on this trip. And we'll have more details about that as things develop and as God continues to open doors. And I want to let you know this. You showed God that you were willing to be part of what he's doing around the world with what you gave to our Lottie Moon Christmas offering this last year. And with everything that came in, you, if you haven't, I got to check the numbers again, but you were very close to doubling what you gave the year before. So you've shown God that you will give to his work. And we need to give to his work, but we also need to go. We also need to go and be a part of it, and we need to do it. So that's what I'm asking you to commit to this morning, is to continue to pray that God will open these doors and that he will do the things that we think he's going to do in Belize, and then commit to be able to go on these trips. I wish I could stand up here today and tell you we're going on this date. I wish I had a date, but we've got some other things that we've got to work out with Mike and begin to get his schedule down and look at some of the work that God is doing there. Now, the things that we're going to do in that country, you heard them talk about training. There is an opportunity for those of you that are gifted as teachers and want to teach. There is a training program called Bible Training Center for Pastors. Now, don't let that name freak you out if you're thinking, I can't train a pastor. But this is curriculum that's put in place. It's a 3-year curriculum that they are using to train men and women in leadership positions in the church. so that they can become better Bible teachers. They can become better pastors. There's going to be opportunities for you to go and take that curriculum down there and to teach. And we're going to help you get trained if you want to go through that. There's a weekend training course that we'll have to put you through. Some of our staff and elders and some of our deacons and others are going to go through that training so that we have men who are ready to go down there to do that. The idea is that Mike's already started that training. It takes 3 years to get a man all the way through it. And so the idea is that they would start and not have to wait 3 years to start over again. So what's he going to need? He's going to need people to come in after him that while he's walking men through and gets to a certain point in that curriculum, we can start new classes and start walking them through it at the same time so that we have a steady stream of men that are coming out of that training. And there's opportunities to train women through that. There's a program that this organization has got that trains women to be able to do Bible study and other things within the church. So we want to give our women the opportunity to get certified in that to go in to help teach there. What I would like to see us do is I'd like for us to be able to have a trip where we take, you know, our families from the church, a trip where our college students go and do something in Belize, a trip where our youth go and do something in Belize. That's what I would love to see us work towards. And there's going to be all kinds of opportunities. You talked about not only the training, but the construction that's going to be there. If you are a man who is gifted in that way, there's going to be opportunities for you to go down and to help either build church buildings or other types of things that are going to be brought up along with what's going on. Now, here's the good news about the way some of this is happening. You may look at some of this and think, well, if we go down there and we start getting involved in buildings, what's to stop a pastor from coming in and locking the door and taking the building away? Here's what I'm excited about this movement that's going on down there. All of these young pastors that have come together and have pulled away from this other organization and are starting to do their own thing, they have organized themselves and they've got help from people at Southwestern Seminary and another local organization, Association of Churches down in Beaumont that has come alongside of them to help as well. Now, these men have put themselves together in what they are calling the Southern Baptist Convention of Belize. They are all studying the Baptist Faith and Message 2000, which is the Baptist Faith and Message that our church holds to, that explains our statement of faith. They are all signing on to that, and they are all committing that that's the way they're going to structure their churches. They're going to learn Baptist ecclesiology and Baptist beliefs. They've all committed to it. Every one of them have. It's being put together in an association that is not run by one person. So there's no, the way this is going to be legally set up down there, they're going to help them do it right. Anything that we help them do, not one person can come in and take it away, whether it's a church building, whether it's, you know, curriculum, whether it's if we provide, help provide transportation in some way, they cannot come in and take that, legally take that stuff away. It belongs to the convention in Belize. Every church that we help plant, every building that we may help do, every whatever resources we may try to help them with, it will belong to that convention and not to one man. And that prevents us from losing all of that work. So it's set up well. It's being done well. And I'm excited about us having the opportunity to go and be a part of it and to jump on board with what God is already doing down there. So I'm asking you to pray about it. I'm asking you to continue to pray that God opens those doors and provides everything that we need. It provides Mike's needs, all that he needs in order to do what he's doing down there. And I'm asking you to commit to go on these trips when we open the opportunities for you to do that. Will you do that for me? Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now as we have a time of response this morning to what we've heard. God, thank you that you have given us an opportunity to be part of what you are doing and believes. Thank you so much, God, that you are opening doors and entrusting us with this great work. God, I pray that you would give us all, as you have those of us that have gone on this trip, I pray that it would the passion that we have and the concern that we have for those people there would begin to spread across our church. And Lord, I know it's one thing to hear the testimony of those that have been and to hear them say they want to go back. Father, that's got to catch on if it's going to be something that Fairway is going to do as your body of Christ there in Belize. So Lord, we turn our attention in responding to what we've heard this morning. Grateful for the opportunity. Grateful for the work that you are already doing. God, as we pray this morning that you would keep those doors open. And as we respond and say, yes, Lord, I will be willing to go. God, we pray that you would make this something that would be an opportunity for Fairway to leave a mark for the kingdom of Christ, to lift up his name. And it's under his authority that we pray. Amen.